The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
This week on Dueling Review, it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 100 from IDW Publishing. Things have never been worse for the TMNT and their allies, but there's still one desperate gambit to try if the family can come together in time. Will it be worth the cost of $8? Over 8 years of TMNT storytelling have led to this game-changing moment. Don't miss it. Or do. Let's find out.
Teenage Turtle Ninja Mutals.
This is a huge issue, 45 pages.
Yes.
Of comic books. Comic book goodness, I guess. And here's the thing. Here's the thing that I'll say. I was trying to think of 100 issues that I've read in the past, you know, the big issue 100. There aren't really many of those. I think you had even said the Spider-Man book, Amazing Spider-Man 100, to kind of avoid that from way back in the original run. Because it wasn't that great. The Dan Slott version of 100 was, you know, okay. But most of them, most of the big anniversary things that we've seen are either kicking off a new story arc, or they are doing a, hey, remember when kind of things, you know, like a greatest hits.
Right.
And not really
Avengers
like,
100 was like a pure anniversary issue where all of the Avengers who had ever been Avengers came back to fight off Loki again.
Yeah. So something like that. But this one, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, this is a culmination of the entire IDW run from the last couple of years. And this is like, if you're flipping through the pay-per-view channels or if you're flipping through the HBOs and you hit the last 10 minutes of a crazy over-the-top action movie, this is that. Because there's they are not holding anything back. I mean, they're, and I don't know enough about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or this specific TMNT storyline at IDW, but pretty much every single character in here is one that I remember from the 80s when this series, well, when Eastman and Laird originally were doing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
There's a lot of that here. Yeah, there's some new characters.
There's a few because I didn't know who the dragon people were. But this is this big over-the-top action sequence that is just pow, 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 pow. Every, you know, faction of the Turtles, wherever they are in the multiverse or wherever they are across the city, coming back together and resolving differences and punching bad guys and cutting the heads off, or pulling out heads from duffel bags.
8 heads in a duffel bag, I heard. Yeah, and I like the way that this actually takes into account the fact that there are multiple turtle continuities. And this has some of the cartoons. This has a lot of the Mirage books. It has a little of the Archie books. It's really trying to give us sort of a grand unified field theory of quadruped terrapins.
Well, and they've been doing that for a while. This particular series at IDW has been doing that. And especially when they, I want to say that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles board game landed a couple of years ago. That's when they were really like, yeah, we're just going to bring all this stuff in. Not necessarily all the crazy stuff like I reviewed a couple of weeks ago on the Major Spoilers podcast with the 90s stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure some of it's there, but just not as over the top.
It's definitely there. I mean, Casey Jones has been around forever, but his dad is relatively new.
Yeah.
The 90s stuff that is in here, you get the bits and pieces of the movies. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of the same character beats or referential character beats.
Yeah, this one also has the new, what is her name? Gingy? The female turtle.
Jenica,
that's her name. She's in this, which I thought was pretty cool. And she got some, you know, everybody gets a little bit of screen time, which works in this context. Not always in every single anniversary or major crossover event does this work well. But this one kind of did work very well for me.
Yeah.
And even though I have not been following the last big arc, I think the last time I read this was probably a year ago when Shredder was doing the Christmas special. Not Shredder, Splinter was doing the Christmas special of the Ghost of Past, Present, and Future. Mm-hmm. And he was the head of the Foot Clan. So I probably haven't read anything since then. But I was able to pick up enough of this to know what was going on. Now, for someone who has never read the Turtles before,
right,
this might be really confusing. I'm trying to think, you know, if this were 10-year-old me, and my mom had groused about having to pay $8 for a comic book so I could read something on my family vacation, I would probably be reading this going, I have no idea what is going on, but I want to read this again and again and again until I can figure everything out. On the other hand, I think in today's society and today's technology, it would be super easy for me to go onto Wikipedia and find out who all these characters are and their backstories.
Right. I mean, I think you can go to Comixology and probably read the last 10, 15, 20 years of comics. So,
well, but I'm just saying, you know, 10-year-old me from 1980. Today,
10-year-old me wouldn't have the internet.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that's why I say today, I think this might be a little bit more new reader friendly than maybe something 20 years ago or 30 years ago.
I would agree. I think that the main part of this issue that works is that you can access the issues in ways that 1980s you and me could not.
Mm-hmm.
You can get those previous issues and you can read them and you can have all of the, you know, the buildup. But then there's also a Wikipedia. There's a specific Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles wiki, which I find very helpful when I'm TMNT. TMNTpedia.
Oh, really? Okay, cool.
Yeah, I want to say it's turtlepedia.fandom.com, but they are not always up to date on the very, very latest issue, but it can tell you, like, for instance, who Kitsune is. It'll give you some background as to what the whole thing with the dragon is. Apparently, Kitsune is an ancient sorceress who basically helped to found or build the Foot Clan.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason that Oroku Saki actually became the Shredder was because she chose him to become the leader of the clan and possibly the host for her evil dragon daddy's form, which
daddy issues.
I'm not saying that
this series is all about daddy issues. Yeah. Other TV shows and other comics are all about mommy issues. This series definitely has a lot of daddy issues going on.
Oh, tons, especially when we get to the end and the turtle boys are like, where's our daddy?
Yeah. Well, in fact, you know, the whole Splinter and his sorrow for what he did not only to his turtle boys, but didn't he have his own son before something happened to his son, right? Or am I thinking of something else? I could have sworn that Splinter in his human form.
I remember him having a wife.
Yeah, and she died, and I thought that he also had a son that died or something, but yeah, it doesn't matter. But everybody has daddy issues.
Sure.
Shredder has daddy issues. Evil Witch Queen has daddy issues. The robots have daddy issues. Baxter Stockman has daddy issues.
Bebop and Rocksteady do not have daddy issues.
Those two in this book.
They are so much fun.
They are. But do you remember my frustration last week with Usagi Yojimbo? And it was just like, why do they keep letting these bad guys get away? Why do they keep letting this one dumbass get away the entire time? And I feel like that's the exact same thing that's happening with Bebop and Rocksteady and their dinosaur raptor friend. Is that it's just like, okay, you beat them up and you just left them there. Maybe tie them up. Maybe do something so they're not going to become a pain in your butt 4 issues from now. So
no,
I don't know, but their bits were good. Casey has daddy issues.
True.
Yeah. It's all weird.
Did you like it? Yeah, I've been actually following this continuity kind of casually for a while now. And I really appreciate a big crossover where you're like, dude, dude, oh, hey, look, it's Slash. Oh, hey, look, it's Baxter Stockman.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going through the whole thing and everything has some tie together. But then it's like, oh, hey, look, it's Black Zad, which I don't know how that happened.
That's not Black Zad.
No, it's Black Zad. Somebody set off a mutagen bomb in the city and there are like tons and tons and tons of mutants now. But one of them is Black Zad. And, you know, that's fine. I'm perfectly fine with that. I think that's a nice little reference. And I feel like the introduction of a fifth turtle has gone much better than previous fifth turtle introductions have. And I feel like all in all, as a 100th issue, this is really successful.
No, I thought so
I
too.
have not been, I don't think I read 98 and 99. I know I read 95 and I know I read 97. In fact, I'm pretty sure I reviewed 97 for the website. But yeah, I liked this book. I liked the ending. I especially liked the moments where they were able to take the time and have, you know, Raph and Leo have their moment. And they were able to take the time and have, you know, Splinter and the Shredder actually come to terms with one another and remember that they used to be the best of friends and that it's now time for one of them to step up and the other to step down.
Yeah, and I know you had said before we started recording this show that you were kind of sad or kind of, I don't know, disappointed about the whole Shredder is
Sad.
back, but Splinter is dead kind of
They
thing.
killed Splinter.
I
That's
don't,
so sad.
I think that's kind of a good thing because in this wrap up, you know, Splinter is recognizing mistakes that he may have had by taking over the Foot Clan, by distancing everybody instead of bringing everyone together. He only furthered to drive wedges in with everything. But then I think that there's this idea of, yeah, okay, Shredder, I'm going to let you go back, but you need to maybe be better. I know he's saying that, be better, but I think we
Right.
know what's really going to happen. But I think this is good because ultimately, I think this is good because it, I don't know, some people hate this, and I kind of hate this too, but it's almost a reset of the status quo where now Shredder and the Foot Clan are the bad guys, and you know, we can deal with just the mutagen after effects, and we can let the turtles be turtles and be their turtle family again and kind of go back to the old ways.
I don't know if they're going to be able to do that anytime soon. I think we're going to
No, it'll be
have
a
some,
while. One issue 110, 115, somewhere around there.
125. We're going
Okay.
to have some time where, you know, Saki is dealing with his own legacy. And I think we're going to have some of that awkward, okay, Magneto, you used to be our enemy and now you're hanging out with us kind of thing. And I'm really kind of looking forward to that.
Yeah. I like the art in this issue. I thought the art was really good.
The art is very, very good. I feel like the expressions of turtles are very difficult because they're just basically eyes and a round mouth. But this art team is really, really good at giving them very complex, very sophisticated emotions. It's kind of remarkable.
Yeah. And, you know, even if you haven't visited this part of the universe in 10 years, I think you'll still be able to recognize all the characters and see where everybody's coming from. And you'll see some old favorites and you may again see some new favorites as well. Yeah, this was, I mean, even though you're being dropped in into the literally middle of the third act, this book starts at 90 miles an hour and does not let up. Even when you hit the end with the big reveal about Krang and his race of little goblin mutant heads.
Yeah, Krang's Utroms are actually parasitic organisms, Steven.
Yeah, and
And that means bad news for Leatherhead.
that means bad news for Leatherhead. I think that means bad news for all undead peoples. I think that means bad news for whatever dimension those Foot Clan kids and the Robotoids and Baxter are on. I think it means bad things for the next arc, which I think might be just zombies. Maybe it's just going to be zombies. Krang will break through to
I
his
hope
dimension
not.
and you know, take over a bunch of dead bodies and have them run amok.
Not zombies. Zombies bad.
I mean, isn't, I mean, Leatherhead basically is a zombie. He's being controlled. He doesn't have a
Zombies bad.
brain. He's just a violence, violence,
Bad, bad
violence.
zombie. Zombie
Yeah.
bad.
I don't know. If I were told that, hey, you're going to spend $8 on a comic book this week, I'd be like, oh man, this better be so worth my time. And you know what? It was very much worth my time. I had fun with this top to bottom. Like I said, I read this like ooh, almost a week ago now, as of this recording, and just dug it and dug it and dug it and kept thinking about it throughout the week. I know if this were 10-year-old me from, you know, 40 years ago, that I would just be reading this again nonstop, nonstop, nonstop. If this were something that my friend had picked up and was reading it and he let me borrow it, I would keep borrowing it and borrowing it and borrowing it because it's really good and a lot of fun. It's not perfect. I think the price is probably the biggest sticking point. I think that there is no previously in, or at least I don't remember seeing a previously in thing. Oh, I guess there was a little bit of a previously in right inside the inside front cover.
Yeah. It's a relatively quick one, though. I mean, yeah.
It's like a, not even a paragraph, I don't think.
It's a high level view.
Yeah.
Karai has defeated Splinter and taking control of the Foot Clan.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they made this an extra packed issue, 45 pages for those $8. I really enjoyed this. I think I'm going to give it, I'm going to have to take off, you know, a half just because of the cover price. But I'm going to give this, I think, 4.5 slices of pizza.
Ooh.
Pizza I really
dude's
enjoyed
got
it that much.
5 minutes.
You did what?
The pizza dude's got 5 minutes.
The pizza dude's got 5 minutes? Okay.
Yep. I don't know. I'm going to give it at least 4 Corey Feldmans.
4 Corey Feldmans. Okay.
Yeah. Corey Feldman. You know, he was the
yeah.
the voice of Donatello.
Yeah. Yeah. He was one of the Frog Brothers. Sure.
No, one of the Turtle Brothers.
Oh, okay.
Frogs are a different continuity. That's an entirely different one.
Yeah.
That's the one where Kiefer Sutherland wasn't the president, but actually had a heinous mullet.
Omega Lazarus in our Discord chat. Yes, you can listen to this show live Thursday nights, 8 o'clock p.m. on our Discord server if you are a patron member, patreon.com/majorspoilers. He asks, how much is a Feldman adjusted for inflation?
Well, Feldmans have been inflating approximately 10 pounds per year for the last 30 years.
So mean.
It is
so mean.
Now, a Feldman is half of a Haim, but only 30% of a Michael T. Robinson.
There you go. All right. Yeah. So it sounds like two solid recommendations for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 100. I don't know where this arc started, but I do know that for the last year, it has been building to this, and probably a lot longer than that, too.
Well, there's at least one previously in this issue that's like, yeah, back in issue number 60.
Yeah.
So it's been going on for a while.
Yeah, I think maybe you should. And I think Dr. Bradley will, once we started playing the TMNT board game on our Munchkin Land show that you can go check out at youtube.com/majorspoilersvideo. This is about a year or so ago, maybe 2 years ago, that we were playing the TMNT board game from IDW Games. He was like, oh, man, I don't know who any of these characters are. I want to go read more. And I think he started reading, I think this was probably around issue 60 or 70. And he's like, I like this so much. I think he went back and bought the entire run of this story.
He liked it so much, he bought the company.
Well, yeah, I wish. But no. But yeah, so people are really getting into this. It looks like Omega Lazarus liked this book. Marshall, I don't know if you had any thoughts on this. I saw... Kevin 11 is talking about how he's getting some nostalgia going on here. I think if you are someone that grew up with the Turtles, and to be quite honest, pretty much everyone Matthew's age and lower has probably grown up with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in their life in some way, shape, or form. And so I think that this is worth picking up.
Yeah,
I agree.
I
think everybody will enjoy this for what it is. Now, if you're totally lost, you get to the end and you're like, wait, Shredder's been dead and Splinter is the head of the Foot Clan? What? I don't understand this. Well, like I said, Wikipedia is your friend, and Matthew said Turtlepedia is your friend. So go, Power Rangers.
Turtlepedia. Also, that's different.
Yeah, go check out that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Power Rangers book, too. That one's all sorts of crazy. Let's see. Okay, so how did we wind up here, Matthew?
Well,
mommy loves a daddy.
I was born very young. This made a lot of people angry and was widely regarded as a bad move. But some years later, I met you, and you were just like, hey, all these other nerds, they don't have the staying power. Someday, 30 years from now, we're going to have a show. And on that show, we're going to have a podcast. And I'm like, what's a podcast? And you're like, don't worry about it. We're going to have a Patreon. I'm like, what's a Patreon? You said, don't worry about it. People are going to be able to go to our Patreon at patreon.com/majorspoilers. And I started to ask you a question. And you just said, don't worry about it. They're going to be able to choose the comics that come out each week. They're going to pick one. And they're going to say, read this comic, nerds. And we're going to do it. And do you know why we're going to do it? And I said, no. And you said, because they're going to pay us and they're awesome friends and they're cool. And I'm like, well, I like the sound of all of that, even though I don't understand it. I really want to have this big group of awesome friends who are like, hey, you know what would be a fun comic to read? And that's, my friends, is the secret origin of Dueling Review.
There you go. All right. So here's the thing. Next week, I got to take my Karate Kid to a family thing, which, and well, it's not a family thing. It's a karate thing. So. You got a what?
I had a 49th birthday.
Oh, okay. Well, I think the Karate Kid thing is a little bit better. He's been excited about this for 2 months now.
You're the best.
You turning 49 is probably not as... 49 years old.
I'm not excited about turning 49?
I don't know. You might be. I probably wouldn't be, but you might be.
Well, were you in September when it happened?
Oh, no. According to my mom, I'm 48. Just remember that. She called...
Your mom lies.
She called... No. Have I told you this? Like, 2 years ago... She called, like, we didn't get a phone call on my birthday. And I was like, oh, she's probably mad at me for something that apparently I've done that I didn't know that I've done. And like 2 weeks later, she calls to wish me happy birthday. And I'm like, you're kind of a little late. And she's like, no, this is the right day. And I was like, no, my birth certificate says otherwise. And she just completely forgot what day it was that I was born. This year, she remembered to call on the right day. But, and I have this saved on our answering machine for blackmail or for whatever purposes I want to use in the future. Committal, probably. She's like, oh, I'm just calling to wish you happy 48th birthday to my 48-year-old. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I'm gonna stick with that. I'm 48.
Yeah,
so there
that's
you
not
go.
How this works.
That's exactly how it works, according to my mom. She's always right. You can't argue with my mom and tell her that she's wrong. She's always right.
Well, I can't imagine how that family trait had any. I just don't know what that would be like.
Really? You should go look in the mirror sometime. Hey, here is what is coming out. Here's what's coming out next week from Boom Studios. Even though we won't be doing a show next week,
right?
Here's what's coming out so you can go look forward to this. We'll have the complete list up on the Major Spoilers website on Monday. But from Boom Studios next week, it's Angel number 8, Firefly number 12, Folk Lords number 2, which I'm really looking forward to that. Because the first issue was really, really good. Jim Henson's Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance, number 4. Klaus, The Life and Times of Joe Christmas, that one-shot, $8 book, just in time for the Christmas. And then, of course, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, number 46, arrives in stores next week from Boom Studios. Dark Horse Comics next week has Skull Digger and Skeleton Boy, number 1. There'll be a review of that up on the site, I can guarantee you that. DC Comics next week has Batman 85, Batman and Superman number 5, Batman the Animated Series AFs, Bane AF. Oh, AF. Man, I need to get me some Bane. He is Bane as an AF. Bane AF.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Killer Croc AF, Mr. Freeze AF, Poison A Ivy AF. Oh, man, that's a lot of scratching and calamine lotion that you're going to need for that.
That's what you get for trying to AF Poison Ivy, I guess.
I think that means action figure, but I'm just going to go with AF.
I know that means action figure, Steven. I'm playing along with your joke, Steven.
Oh, we're going to talk about committing to the bit. Don't worry. Doomsday Clock number 12 finally arrives. Hey, I think
only
that's just in...
18 episodes late.
Honestly, I think it's going to coincide with the end of the Watchmen series on HBO, at least the first season
of the Watchmen series.
Legion of Superheroes number 2 arrives. Man, it seems like that one... I know that one's arriving on time. No, it can't. It's not. It is arriving exactly on time. Yeah.
No, it's late.
Metal Men, number 3. Shazam, number 9. Wonder Woman, Dead Earth, number 1 of 4. And Year of the Villain, Hell Arisen, number 1. Just in time for Christmas. Dynamite Entertainment, Chastity, number 4. Death Defying Devil, number 4. Vampirella, number 6.
Yeah. Vampirella!
IDW Publishing next week, Glow versus Babyface number 2, or I'm sorry, The Babyface number 2.
The Babyface, yeah.
Narcos number 1, I don't know if that is based on that Netflix series or whatever series that is, maybe.
No, it's about people who fall asleep at their desk.
Narcos, okay.
Yeah.
Read Only Memories number 1, Star Trek Year 5 number 9, and Wellington number 1, probably not Tom Wellington, but there you go. Image Comics. Next week. Farmhand number 12. That's a mystery.
Tom
title.
Wellington is now a farmhand. I don't know.
Yes, he is. I watched the show. Okay. I saw a Beef Wellington right there on the screen. If you want to know more about our thoughts on the crisis on Infinite Earth's big event, you need to become a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Matthew and I do a show called Flashback where we talk about and geek out and sometimes rage against the machine for every episode of The Flash. But this week, it's Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 1. You're going to want to check that out if you're a $5 and higher member at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Marvel Comics next week, Black Panther number 19, Conan Serpent War number 2. Huh. Is that any good? Did you read that one? That's a 4-issue miniseries.
I don't know if I did. Maybe I did.
Okay. I don't see any Venom and I don't see any Carnage next week. But we do see Ghost Spider number 5, Guardians of the Galaxy number 12, King Thor number 4, final issue there. Revenge of the Cosmic Ghost Rider number 1. That's where Ghost Rider goes to college and finds out he's a big nerd and he has to go up against the Alpha Betas.
Ghost Rider goes to college. Yep. That sounds like a movie I'd
Revenge of Cosmic Ghost Rider number 1. It doesn't hold up 30 years later, so just keep that in mind.
You got to put one foot in front of the other. And your left foot down.
X-Force number 4 arrived next week, as does X-Men Summers and Winter trade paperback for only $15. In all the rest category, we have Belladonna Fire Fury number 13. I'm not even going to go through. There's probably literally 20 variant covers here.
There's a topless cover. There's a bottomless cover. Topless
There's
cover.
A lot of nude
There's
covers.
A nude topless bottomless cover.
They have a Viking Vixen nude cover, if that's what you're into.
Well, who's not, really?
Blade Runner 2019 number 5 kicks off a new arc at Titan Comics. Cosmo, the Mighty Martian number 2 from Archie Comics. Doctor Who, the 13th Doctor Holiday Special number 2. Actually, isn't there a new Doctor Who special coming out on Christmas?
Not Christmas, New Year's.
New Year's. Okay, we got to get all geared up for that. Gung-Ho, in fact, is what we could say we are, because Gung-Ho number 1 arrives next week. I'm pretty sure that is not a comic adaptation of the Michael Keaton movie from the 1980s, but you never know.
He's actually the Batman of Earth 23, I believe.
Let's see. What else do we have on here? Psycho List number 5, Roku number 3, Vampire State Building number 3. It's got an Adlard cover, so I don't know what that is. I don't know who that is by.
Charlie Adlard.
Yeah. Visitor number 1 is the... No, I mean who the publisher is on this.
Oh, maybe that's an Image book. No, it wouldn't be an Image book. No, it wouldn't be an Image. Would it?
Could be Archie, maybe? No, I don't know.
Hard to say.
Yeah, hard to say. You know what else is hard to say? Thank you. Because too many people don't remember to say that each and every time that you do something nice for them. So I'm going to take a moment, and I'm going to say thank you to all of our listeners who are listening to this show. It is a wonderful time of the year when we are busy, busy, busy doing all sorts of things for other people.
Busy, busy, busy.
I know, right? And so sometimes we get so busy doing other things, we forget to say thank you. But I want to say thank you to everybody who's listening to this show. I want to say thank you to everyone who made this show possible over the last year. Because all of those of you who went over to patreon.com/majorspoilers and you voiced what comic you wanted us to review for the next week, you helped shape this show for an entire year. And I just want to say thank you for that. I also want to say thank you to all the people who've been hanging out when we do this show live, as I mentioned earlier, Thursday nights, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time on our Discord server. There's a link in the show notes. Matthew and I stream this show live. You can listen to it. Our patrons can listen to it live. Another reason to become a patron. And you can interact with us. We do some Q&A before and after and all that good stuff. J. Michael T. has just shown up. He's stumbled into the room. But thank you, J. Michael T. Thank you, Omega Lazarus. Thank you, Kevin 11 and Mark Smith and all the other cool people who show up in that chat each and every week. And I want to say thank you to all of our patrons for all the hard work that they do in making sure that we have the funding to keep us going week after week, month after month, year after year, as we start to approach our 14th year, the conclusion of our 14th year. And Matthew, thank you for being part of the Major Spoilers experience, and thanks for being part of Dueling Review for all this time that we've been doing that.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. like I said, we are going to be off next week, but yep, we will return the week after. So that will be, we will be back on the 26th, so the day after Christmas. We will be back on January 2nd, and we will have a brand new show the day, almost the second day into the new year. We will be there for you.
The first show of the new 2020, man. We'll have perfect vision.
Yeah.
And we'll be happy, man.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. All right. We will see you the next time when you will hear Matthew say,
holy priceless collection of Etruscan snoots.
This podcast is copyright 2019 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 U.S.-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's P-A-I-R.com.